Shalom, saints. Good morning and praise God, all of you. And I believe it's a fine day today, and we're all once again excited to be back on this platform to hear and to be blessed. I take this opportunity as we continue to the subject of what we left yesterday, that God had a plan and God fulfilled and is fulfilling and is going to restore and complete His work in Israel. And this redemption is a vivid reflection for our church. As we see that last point, that what we spoke about yesterday, that God reviews the process He is using to bring redemption to Israel and sanctify the nation as His people once again. And in that day, God will remind Israel and the Gentile world of His grace, greatness, and holiness to all the redeemed, but especially His mercy and love for the redeemed of Israel. Now we see, when God is actually rescuing a nation, today I would call it the rescue of a nation. When God is interested in rescuing a nation where it was long back dissolved, scattered, insignificant, God is rescuing it, bringing it back in its place. We would read that first in Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 27 to 29. When I have brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' lands and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them unto their own land and have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. So when God is doing this great work, you know, first of all, let me just tell you, the coming of the nation of Israel is actually a great miracle. It's something that which was practically impossible, God made it possible. He brought the people from different parts of the world and gathered them, established them, settled them, gave them the glory and gave them all the wisdom and the power to be a nation once again standing through and tall amidst of all the nations of the world. This is truly the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Now, when God rescued this nation and brought it back among all the other nations, it is some significant that God would love us to recognize, us to understand, why is God doing it? He remembers His promise that He had made to Abraham. He remembers every gesture, every word that He spoke to His friend Abraham. And we see it in Genesis chapter 22, verse 18, that in thee all the nations of the earth be blessed. In one nation, all the nations of the earth be blessed. So when God was trying to bring this nation or rescue this nation from all the clutches of the enemy, all the clutches of satanic power and darkness, all the power of non-existence and scattered, and brought God them back to as one nation to have the name of the Lord exalted. And when this happens, God remembers His promise that He had said that in thee all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And this is truly, that's the work that is going to be done, or it's being done in our times. We also remember and we see Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, I will bless thee and I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth be blessed." You know, what a God who remembers his promise so well, that in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, God has a deep-rooted meaning, and he wants to signify his words so true and vivid for us in the New Testament church. We also see in Genesis 18, verse 18, that it says, "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." This is the third scripture that God said and stated, that all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, in his descendants. So we see every promise of God, that what he says never ever goes in vain. What he says definitely comes to pass. God never forgets. So though there may be thousands and thousands of years that has passed by, but the word of the Lord is true. God brought this nation back, rescuing it from all the clutches of the other nations and other hatreds of people and beliefs. God brought this out nation to stand as a true and a powerful nation. Now, when we read this verse, the verse 29 of chapter 39 of Ezekiel, "Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord." Now, when God has poured out his spirit on the house of Israel, and he is not going to turn his face from them anymore. So we also remember the prophecy of Joel, that it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Now, when this prophecy was spoken by the prophet Joel, this was an extension of God's plan of what he had promised Abraham about the rescue of a nation and all the nations of the earth being blessed. My brothers and sisters, the rescuing part of a nation was truly, without any shadow of doubt in our minds, it was God's plan. And God rescued this nation so that you and I today could be blessed, could be in the body, could be out of the curse of darkness, could be out of the curse of death, so that we would have a part of the redemption that God had favored and shown through Israel. My brothers and sisters, as we see in Galatians chapter 3, verse 7, "Then know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham." Those of faith. Now, faith is so important, which has brought us together as one family and one in the body. Though we are a Gentile body, a church, God has given us the grace to be called the very bride of Christ, the very portion, the bone of his bone, the flesh of his flesh. We remember Israel, how a glorious promise and a great man of God, as they toiled, labor, and the land was glorious, but how, because of selfishness, that they fell into the traps of sin and Satan. How they went on to do their own will and live and behave and do the things of what the other heathen nations were doing. They also fell in lust because they began to have idolatry, they went after other gods, they built temples and various other things where they lost the light of God's truth. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, that was not only so, they also got pride, and because of the pride, that was a big folly that they became captives to so many different nations and came into bondage in. But these are the three deadly sins, like what selfish lust and pride is, even today in the New Testament church. Like Paul says, these are the manifestation of the flesh, and this is something that which is opposing or is in opposition to life and peace that God has given us in redemption through Jesus Christ. If we are selfish, this selfishness opposes faith. If there is lust, that lust opposes hope. If there is pride, pride opposes the love of God. We got to constantly examine ourselves, that we be not victims of these deadly sins. The Bible says that the law came by Moses and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Now, when we say law, means we consider the Old Testament, grace and truth as the New Testament. But when Moses preached the law and the counsel of God, he also preached another sermon, that which was speaking about Christ, the hope of their salvation, of their redemption, how they could be reinstated in Christ. In the Genesis we see Jesus is the seed. He is the seed of that woman. In Exodus we also find that Jesus is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he is the scapegoat, the great high priest. In Numbers, we see Jesus is the water in the desert. Deuteronomy, we find Jesus is the coming prophet who is greater than Moses. And so on. In Joshua, he is the commander of the Lord's army, and so on and so forth. We have Jesus so vivid, who is portrayed in the Old Testament. Even today, as we belong to this New Testament church, there were many epics of this Old Testament we couldn't understand so well. And so we needed a prophet for this generation who would restore this church back to its original condition. And so the voice of the prophet that heralded back to the original, back to the apostolic, back to the Eden, back to the original. We certainly appreciate it's all because God worked a great wonder in rescuing a nation in this time. This redemption that what God is trying to portray in this country is such a vivid picture for us in this New Testament church. We thank God in so much of depth that we can say, Lord, you have truly blessed us in such a great way in bringing alive your whole scripture, the whole book in our times. This is God's redemption that is made available for everyone who would believe. In this great mission of rescuing a nation in this hour of time, the nation Israel, God has proved to us of his great love and mercy that he has for each and every one. That certainly in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. All the nations of the earth. And certainly we are the recipient of that great blessing of God, that wherever he has worked out our salvation in the beautiful plan of Israel. Israel went into tremendous crisis but God has rescued it. And I can assuredly say this was a part of my redemption. We have been rescued, we have been saved, because this shows His unconditional love and His heart that has remembered every word that He had spoken to His friend Abraham. And so, my dear friends, I believe we have understood today why has God rescued a nation. Because we are so very connected to His love and mercy, which we have been enriched in this part of time. I thank every one of you, and I believe God will bless you, and we would see one of the next topic that we would see tomorrow. God is going to renew a relationship with us. Now may God bless you. Till we meet tomorrow, stay blessed. Praise God.